Amen. You know, as we move right through December, I often think that in our busyness and everything, we have good intentions, but sometimes we miss it. And there is people out there that don't know the who, what, when, and why of why we celebrate Christmas. And in a moment, I'm going to share something with you about that. But you know what? Sometimes God wants to use you. Say amen. You're the one that God wants to use to minister to a neighbor. You're the one that God wants to use to minister to a coworker, to a family member. So all I'm asking you this morning is next Sunday is Christmas Eve. It's upon us. Can you believe it? It like I said before, it seems like we were just saying Happy New Year, and now all of a sudden here we are at the end of the year, but it's upon us, and I'm asking you this morning to just remember and be sensitive to those that you come in contact with this week. Sometimes all they need is an invitation. Sometimes all they need to have God change their life is invite them and get them in the presence of God. Amen? Father, as we just take a moment to go to your word, I'm asking, Lord Jesus, for you to minister to each one of us. This message isn't for someone else. This message is for each and every one of us as we walk with you, as we are a disciple, as we journey together, and as we journey in our own spiritual lives. Each one of us can take a tidbit of your word and apply it to our lives, and it would be life-changing. Take this moment and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a couple of different scriptures that we're going to be sharing, so I really have only one little verse as a text. But for a moment, if you remember last week, we had time and we did several skits, and we had superheroes running around, and then, you know, we really tried to tie all of that together. And I love my favorite t-shirt right now is The Last Supper with all the superheroes sitting there with Jesus in the middle saying, "That's how I saved the world." That to me right now is the best t-shirt that was given to me by a friend of mine a few weeks ago, and I cherish it. I love it because in the midst of Spider-Man and Superman and the Hulk and all of them, and they're in the audience with us today. They were here last week, and they came to join us again. So we're glad for that. But the greatest superhero is Jesus Christ and what Jesus did for us. So one of the things that I said in my few minutes with you as we closed out that service was that Jesus is the light of the world. And if you look at that, most Christians know exactly what we're talking about and what that looks like and how he is the light of the world and how he is the light for their lives. But to those seeking and those that are far away from God, that's a whole different story, and that carries mixed thoughts. For those that are seeking, it's an attraction that God has, and he's drawing them in, and they really need to know more about the Lord that is speaking to them in different ways and in their lives. And to those that are far from God, or in rebellion, or in the sense that they're mad at God for what God did or didn't do to their plan and to their way they think, it's a whole different deal. It's a whole different meaning. And that light and that respect, they are avoiding. They're trying to stay out of that light. In the light of God, God wants to speak to us. In the light of God, God wants to allow us to know that Jesus is the hope. That wants us to know that Jesus is the peace. He wants us to know that Jesus is the joy. And until you really begin to seek it, until you really begin to desire it with all your heart, you don't understand that. So you can understand in a way why people reject Christ, because they haven't been to the light, or they're avoiding the light, and God is speaking to them, and we don't know what God is doing. That's why I'm telling you this morning that you don't know by invitation what God is doing in someone's heart, and by you inviting them may be the very thing that they were looking for and may not even have known it. And you know, many that claim to know Jesus don't experience the peace that God wants us to have. Don't experience the joy that God wants us to have. Don't experience the things that draw us closer, because even those that say they know Christ sometimes miss out on what God wants because we're struggling to measure up to others. Say amen to that. We're struggling to measure up to somebody else. We're struggling up to expectations that even God doesn't put on us sometimes, and others will put on us. We struggle sometimes to be good enough that Jesus would even love us. Say amen. We have a society of people today that are trying and struggling because they feel like they can't even come to God because God would not love them. But if they really came to the light, if they really saw what God wants to do in our lives, they all of that would melt away in the light that Jesus Christ loves them. That they struggle to hear a message of Jesus at Christmas time. And all the time God wants to change us, and we don't let Him. We avoid it, or we say not today, or not right now. The good news is Jesus is Lord. The good news is that Jesus was born and lived and died and was resurrected. That is the Christmas message, and that is the Easter message, and you can't separate the two. You can't separate the two. You make your conclusion on all of the things that come together. It's just not Jesus coming, but it's His death and resurrection. It's not just that Jesus wants to be the light of the world. He wants to be the light of the world in your life. Matthew 1:23 is our text. It's one verse. It's this: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call Him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God came. God wants to redeem. God wants to show us what is going on in our lives so that He can make our lives better. The bottom line is this: God had a plan, and it's a good one. God doesn't need a second plan. God doesn't need a part B or a second idea. God's plans don't fail or fall short. Jesus is coming. In the womb of a virgin is what the Word says, and He will be God with us, and He will be the Redeemer. He is coming to save us. It is God's plan of redemption. And then I sit, and I, at this time of year, I think, what if Jesus wouldn't have came? What if He wouldn't have came? And then you really start thinking about it, and I would encourage you this week, as you're spending time in prayer and as you're spending time thanking God for the things that He's doing, stop and think a moment, what if He wouldn't have come? What if the Holy Spirit didn't come to empower us? What if the Holy Spirit didn't come to be our God? What if Jesus never was resurrected? What would this world look like? Well, it would be in darkness. You wouldn't even be talking about Jesus' light, because this world would be in darkness with no way out. This world would never know what love is. Now, there's some that get on the TV and on the radio, and they have all kinds of books written about how they know what love is, but you really won't know what love is until you know and experience the love of God. Because that is the highest measure which would keep a husband faithful, which would keep a marriage strong, which would keep all the things that are needed. Because once you understand how much God loves you, you have this ability to be able to love others in a new and a fresh way. There would be no good news. Can you imagine? If Jesus never came, there would be no resurrection. There would be no good news of hope. There would be nothing, because every bit of our hope in eternity rests on the back of Jesus Christ. There couldn't be peace. How many know that at times, at your worst end and at the worst times, only God's peace allows you to make it through those times? The peace of God, the Word of God says, passes all understanding. But as a believer, once you've experienced the peace of God, you understand that you don't go by circumstances. You don't go by how I feel. You don't go by what's sitting in your wallet right at this moment, because you know that God has something for you. You know that that peace will get you through a trial, will get you through troubles. And you know that you will never experience God's joy outside of God. Say amen to that. You can't experience God's joy outside of God. The joy that God offers doesn't look at circumstances, doesn't look at situations, but the joy that God has is an inner joy that only God can bring. Amen? He came down so we could go up. Say amen? I love that. John 6:38, another one if you want to tie these texts together. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those who have given me, that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. See, the two miracles, like I said, work together. The miracle of Christ's birth and the miracle of Christ's resurrection, they work together here so that we might have eternal life and we might be redeemed by Jesus Christ. If we accept what Jesus has done and we acknowledge him as Lord, we can stand on his promises. We can grab his peace. We can grab his strength. We can be assured that redemption is under the shed blood of Christ and his resurrection. He was resurrected, so we will be resurrected. And then we know that if we don't accept what Jesus has done for us, we will not have our sins forgiven us. And the shed blood of Christ would have died in vain for us. Either way, I'm looking at verses this week. Either way, we will, every single one of us, every single one of us on earth will at least one time in our lives acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, because the Bible tells us every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we have a choice here. That we can come to the table of his blessings, or we can come in judgment of him and face his wrath, because every single one of us will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. The thing is, will you do it? And will you do it in God's time frame while there is time for a redeemer? See, if you look at these verses, people knew Jesus was coming. You can look at all of these verses. We know that Jesus is coming. Isaiah, all of the prophets talking about it, they knew that Jesus was coming. One generation after another, the message has always been passed down that God hasn't forgotten us. That we're the chosen people. Isaiah writes, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. That was John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and there has always been forerunners for the generation to come that would bring the message. Every generation has had a voice. Every generation has someone calling out and pointing us to the Christ child. Every generation has had some voice that says you need to repent and bring yourself to God to receive the forgiveness of sins. The message is the same. Repent, see God for who he is and what he's done for us. The words of John the Baptist brought hope to a world that needs hope. And there's always a voice. We will not be able to stand before God and say that we never knew. Well, I've never heard. especially in the United States, especially where the gospel has been preached to death, we will not be able to stand before God. Their hope was hinged on a prophet and a future Savior coming. Our hope on this side of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all prophecy and is the completion of what Christ did and the promise of Jesus Christ. And for the believer, we're looking for the second coming of Christ. We're looking for Christ to come back to fulfill what he said. He came, he died, he was resurrected. He allowed the Holy Spirit to come so that we could be energized. He said, I'm coming back. And for those that know Christ, we're keeping our eyes focused on Christ because we know that he will fulfill that promise. Every year, there is some sort of message to prepare people for Jesus coming and to be ready. That we, you and I, not let Christmas get away from us. Amen to that? I think at least one time during Advent, you will hear me say, don't miss this Christmas. Don't get so wrapped up in the presents that you miss Jesus. Don't get on the 26th and say, oh my gosh, it's over with, but I miss Jesus. And I've used this illustration, but it definitely fits here of this woman frantically running through the mall and running from store to store, and she suddenly is aware that her three-year-old is not on her arm anymore. And she goes into a panic. She begins running all over store to store, looking and looking and looking. And after several minutes of looking in panic, she sees her little boy over by the manger looking at Jesus. And she goes running over there. She says, where were you? He says, look, it's baby Jesus. We don't have time for that. And grabs the arm of the child and begins to go shopping. I want to tell you this morning, make time. You have to have time for Jesus. It is what he's all about. It is what Christmas is all about. Saying we don't have time for that shows that we're just so busy. We have to make time for that. We have to allow Jesus to be a part of every plan that we make. I want you to know something, that I have great memories of Christmas as a kid. I feel like I was blessed. The anticipation of Jesus coming, the anticipation of presents, the anticipation of even, I remember so young looking out the window thinking Santa Claus is going to come at any moment. All of those things wrap up Christmas, and there was good memories. But it wasn't only about presents. Because now as I get older, I think of my mom that raised two boys by ourselves and working two and three jobs. And I remember spending so much time with my grandparents that Christmas was special, not because of the presents. It was special because my mother and my grandparents made it special. I felt loved. I knew I was loved. We were dirt poor, but we didn't know it. We didn't know it because all of the things that were involved there wasn't about gifts. And don't get me wrong, I love presents. I still love presents. But it's not only about that. And we can't get tied up in there. There has to be a balance. There has to not be forgetting about Jesus and forgetting about what it means and how important it is in our lives and what Christmas really is about. See, maybe because I'm not so crazy about the shopping part of Christmas, because some people can go into stores and they can have a list and they can walk into that store and they can fulfill that list and they go out. Here's me. Not knowing what I'm going to buy. I'm the guy that the cashiers make fun of. He don't have a clue. That's me. And so, you know, you stop and you think about that. And then the other side, and I got to be honest, I struggle sometimes with people celebrating about Christmas and Jesus and know nothing about Jesus. or no time for Jesus. And I have a hard time even celebrating with them because it's kind of like going to a party and a birthday party and it's not their birthday. It's like crazy. It's like, why am I here? If it's not your birthday, why am I here? And why did I buy something? We get lost in that. And part of the problem today is people don't think they need a Savior. I'm telling you, people don't think they need a Savior. And if they do, they definitely don't want that Savior to be Lord of their life. And they don't want that Savior to have the authority to change their life. But I'm coming on the Word of God today that He says He needs to be Lord of your life. He needs to be important. He don't take seconds, and I'm telling you that. There has to be lordship. To experience all of the promises of God, you have to be a follower of God. Can I say that again? To experience all the promises of God, you have to be a follower of God. You can't take, it's not a smorgasbord. I take a little of this blessing and a little of this and a little of this. Nah, I never really cared for that. That's not the way you come to God. It's not the way you're going to come to God. And you know what He's going to say? I have a full table. You want this? You might have to eat a little of this that you ain't crazy about. He became a servant so that we could become sons and daughters of God. The God of the universe left His home in heaven so that we could have an opportunity to share eternity with Him. Very quickly, let me share a couple verses. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I am the living bread which came from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water I shall give them will never thirst again. See, the very God that created the world created us. We are His only creation that was made in His image. Say amen to that. It's people. It's not animals. It's not the beauty of nature. He made people in the image of God to worship God and to be redeemed by God. The wayward angels have no way back. You say amen to that? They have no way back. We are adopted into the family of God by one way, and His name is Jesus Christ. You can't shortcut that. And it comes with benefits. It comes with the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, filling us, directing us, guiding us, strengthening us. And it comes with hope, and it comes with joy, and it comes with peace. And my question to you is this. Jesus is Lord whether you want Him to be or not. The question for us and for eternity is whether Jesus is Lord to you. Let me read our text again as I close this up. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. See, I know why there's so many problems that come at Christmas time. Now just hear me for a second. Satan hates Christmas. And he will do whatever he can to get your focus off Jesus and on circumstances and on problems. I've told you a million times, I don't see evil behind every tree, but I want you to know something. It's not coincidence that vehicles break down, money gets tight, that people get sick, job changes, relationships are stressed, and depression and loneliness and deaths happen. because it comes on the heels of God's love for us. And Satan hates it. And he will take and try to get anything away from that. Because if we lose focus of Jesus, we miss Christmas. If we lose focus on Jesus, we miss what may be the blessing right around the corner for us. See, the miracle of Christmas is not getting presents. It's giving. Jesus gave himself. And when we give ourselves, we focus on others. The same way that Christ gave for us, there's a blessing there. And by giving, I mean giving of yourself, not necessarily a present, because you let the love of Christ shine in your life. And then you become that light. You begin to take authority that has been given you by God and begin to do some extraordinary things. You decide whether you're going to focus on your trials, your problems, or you're going to focus on Jesus Christ. And it makes a difference on how that's going to play out. And if you don't know that Jesus that I've been talking about, I'm telling you, you can meet him. He can change your life. He can restore your life. He can make things right. In January, I believe that we are going as a church to try to go deep into the relationship of what it takes to walk with God. See, the programs are great. Things are great. And there are some churches doing some amazing things. But the bottom line is this. And this is what I want in January to bring out. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And when we got Jesus, these other things are going to fall into place. Programs are great. But we need Jesus. We need a relationship with God. We need to be able to stand the test of trials and tribulations and the things that are going on in society. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We need Jesus. We need to be less a member that comes occasionally to church and more a disciple of Christ that follows Jesus every day. You say amen to that? We need to be more missional than attractional. See, as a church, I see the church universal trying to be attractional, trying to come up with this program, trying to do what's right, to bring people in the door. But you know what? That's not working. It's not working. We need to be more missional. Be about Jesus' business. Do what we're supposed to be doing, and then we will be the light. Less attracted by what the church has to offer and more mission-minded, where do I fit in? How can I be a part of this? What is God asking me to do? See, the offer of salvation is free. You can't earn that, and I'm not saying you could jump on staff here. You can be the guy that signs up for everything and every bit of the needs of the church, and it won't do you any good for your salvation. But I'm telling you this: once you receive salvation, once you are a child of God, you can't sit idle. You can't sit idle. That's when the devil wants to beat you up. That's when you lose track of what's really important. The world needs to see God's people following their Savior. That is the best gift God will ever give you, and it is the best gift you could ever give back to God. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your head with me? They're not magic words this morning, but I know a God that can change your life. The question is this morning, what do you say? Father, we just take a moment. And I just preach the message on Jesus as Lord. It's a fact. It's what you've been saying forever. This morning, as we just really draw close to Christmas Eve and all of the busyness of Christmas, Lord God, we really do need to take a reality check. We really do need to take a check on where our relationship with you is. This morning, I just want us to take a moment to do that. If we don't know Jesus, if all the things that I've just said about Jesus, if it's not real in our lives, then today we can accept what Christ has done. And today we could be a changed person. It begins today, not perfect, but changed by the power of God. Father, if there's any here this morning that have never asked Jesus to be Lord of their lives, I pray that you would speak to them directly today. I pray that you would take down the mask, take down the guilt, take down the coulda, shoulda, woulda, and get right down to the bare bones of it this morning. That you ask them, can I be Lord of your life? Will you give me your life? If there's anyone here this morning that would like me to pray that prayer with them, I'm going to ask you to just slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. For anyone this morning, as we just continue to take a look at our lives, I know Jesus, but this morning I can't say I'm following him wholeheartedly. And this morning I make a decision that I want to commit my life to Christ and allow you to change my life. Would there be any here this morning that would want me to pray that prayer with them? Father, I ask that if we would just take a moment, search our hearts, allow you to be God in our lives, allow you to have complete control of what happens. That we would allow you to change our lives, change our attitude, change what we do, when and how we do it. That, Lord Jesus, we would be more sensitive to those that you bring to our attention, that we are in contact with, sensitive to our neighbor, sensitive to those in our family that need to know Christ, but for whatever reason have been either burned by the church, burned by a bad relationship, burned by what they thought God should or shouldn't do, that we're just going to love them. Literally love them into the kingdom of God if you would allow it. May you get honor and glory. May this Christmas, no matter what circumstances or anything that's going on in our lives, may this Christmas be the best ever. In Jesus' name, amen.